1 Corinthians 10. We'll be looking at the first 13 verses this morning. Let's begin our time in God's Word in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together, that we have the freedom to do so. Lord, we thank you that even though we're small in number today, that where two or three are gathered together, you're here in our midst. That you are with us. That your Spirit empowers us to know you and to understand your word. To see all its benefits. Lord, we pray that we would come away today with a greater desire for your word. That through it we would see your mercy, your grace. We would see Christ Jesus. And in seeing him, we would want to be more like him, and we would pursue that daily on a moment-by-moment basis. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning of verse 1, it says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all baptized, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as an example for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Ecclesiastes, as we read in our scripture reading, describes everything remaining the same. In fact, a popular pop artist in the 60s used Ecclesiastes to sing about how even though things change, everything remains the same, right? In fact, there is a joke from communist Russia. "Old boss, same as new boss." There's no difference. It just happens over and over again, right? The wind keeps coming around and dropping snow on us. The same thing just keeps happening, right? History has a tendency to repeat itself. We called back the first conflict, in major conflict in Europe, that the United States was a part of, the Great War. Well, then it came around again. We started having to put numbers on them, right? World War One, World War Two, right? We're just waiting for the Russians to get really fun with it and become World War Three. Things keep repeating themselves. The same things keep happening over and over again. And so I'd like us to consider again the value of the Old Testament. Last week we saw how Christ is found in the Old Testament, right? The whole Old Testament displays Jesus Christ. And today we'd like to understand that there is instructional value for us in the Old Testament. To put it another way, we should ask the question, how does the Old Testament aid in our spiritual growth, our sanctification? Because let's be honest, we get to some of the stories, and they're really fun, right? Who doesn't want to read Joseph? Of course, I think Joseph was a little snotty brat, but that's because I'm a middle child and not the youngest, right? Dad gave him a special coat. But we love the stories, but sometimes we don't go beyond stories. We get bogged down in begats. We get bogged down in laws. And we fail to see their purpose. We fail to see their value to us. Aren't we under grace? Right? We discussed last week, none of us went out, hopefully this morning, all right, nobody did, went out and killed a lamb. We were too busy digging out to go and slaughter a lamb and put it on some rocks and cook it. So sometimes we don't connect with it because it seems so foreign and so long ago. But I'd have you understand, even Paul here writing to a Gentile church describes the worth of the Old Testament for us. And the first reason that it is worthwhile to even us today is because we have the same experiences. Did you notice from verses 1 through 5 that it sounded a lot like what happens to us? Notice here that we have the same type of spiritual experiences. Paul draws forward what happened to the Israelites, right? They're being under the cloud. They passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. He's using New Testament language to describe the spiritual state of the Old Testament Israelites. Of course, the sad part is you get down to after the rock and everything, and still God was not pleased with some of them because they had not responded. But what we notice is that we have the same type of spiritual experiences. Have you ever been stuck in a situation? You feel like you're stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. We call it a rock and a hard place. You been there lately? Maybe you're stuck between snowbanks. And it seems hopeless, and then God intervenes. Same type of spiritual experiences. Israel, where were they? They were in captivity. They were slaves. Paul tells us in Romans that we were before Christ were slaves to our sin. It's the same type of spiritual experiences. Just as God delivered them physically and even, yes, spiritually there in the book of Exodus, God pulls us out of sin. We have the same type of spiritual experiences. We also have the same type of satisfaction in God. Notice verse 4, the latter part of it. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. In the New Testament, Jesus speaking to a woman he has no business speaking to. One, she's a woman. And men in that age did not speak to women they were not married to. Two, she's a dirty, rotten, half-breed Samaritan. We don't like those people. Jesus speaks to her and says, I want some water. And by the way, if you realized who I was, you'd be asking water from me that would well up from inside of you. Paul, talking about the Israelites, says they drank from the rock, and he even draws the conclusion that that rock was Christ. You see, the ones who had faith, the Israelites who had faith as they were exiting Egypt and going towards the promised land, were trusting in God. They looked and saw all the promises fulfilled. They saw the mighty hand of God bring them out of Egypt, and two of them especially, Caleb and Joshua, they get to the land and say, yeah, the people are big, but isn't God a lot bigger? God's promised the land. We can't fail going in. Of course, they were in the minority. The whole generation died in the wilderness, didn't they? We have, though, the same type of satisfaction in God. Paul here describes them drinking. You've been out there, our lovely climate, in the middle of summer. It's hot. It's dry. And what just hits the spot? Cold water, right? I got to enjoy some vacation time, that's what I like to call it, out in the desert, southern Utah, in full chemical gear, rubber suits that are charcoal lined. Talk about sweating in the middle of summer. You know what the best thing was? Water. Satisfying. It just quenches. It just hits the right spot. That's the language Paul uses here of the Israelites and the Old Testament, and he brings it forward and says, we have the same thing going today in Christ. Our world is looking for that satisfaction, is it not? And not finding it. So they keep looking for the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. We can have full satisfaction in God. Did you know the Old Testament shows us that? When was it when the Israelites complained? The ones when they weren't satisfied with God. But we can have the same type of satisfaction in God. And in verse 5, we fall into the same type of sin against God. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You could even draw a parallel between the church in America today and the children of Israel, not saying we inherit their promises, we get the land. But in a great way, God is not pleased with the church in our nation. We are being overthrown in the wilderness. All captivated by the glitter of Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. At least there, yeah, we had to make bricks, but at least we had meat. Does that sound like a good plan? God, what are you doing? This isn't comfortable. I left my easy chair in Egypt. My really nice bed is still back there. Now I'm sleeping on the ground. There's a camel trying to cuddle me. God, it's not nice. It's not comfortable. God, why'd you bring us into the wilderness just for us to die at the hand of Pharaoh? God, why are we going to this land? The people are too big for us. God, why is this challenge in front of me? It's too big for me. God, why are they passing laws to persecute Christians? God, why are they... Does that sound familiar? All this was given as an example to us. We fall into the same traps they fell into. We see God as too small. We see God as too capable, not concerned with us. And we complain. We all fall into the same type of sin because we have the same experiences Israel did. Maybe we don't have sandals on. Maybe we're not wandering a physical wilderness. But we all have the same experiences. And if you go to verse 6 down to verse 10, we face the same temptations. Now these things took place as an example for us that we might not desire eat to do evil as they did. And he gives examples of their sin. Idolaters in verse 7. Immorality in verse 8. Putting God to the test, verse 9. Grumbling, verse 10. When was the last time you grumbled? I can tell you when mine was. It was about 7:30 this morning. And I was pushing more snow. I was grumbling only a little bit. I'd ask God to forgive me. We face the same temptations. We face the same temptation to put something before God, to be idolaters. In a world of hypersexuality, we face the same temptation to be idolaters. In a world where ease is paramount, we face the same temptation to put God to the test. In a world where life is about us, we often face the same temptation to be complainers. Here, Paul is going through the Israelite history. The first one in verse 7 is the golden calf. Could you imagine being there in the crowd? And maybe you're not on either side. We'll call you an independent, right? The polling guys are coming out to see where you fall, who you're going to vote for. And you're there, and most of the crowd's over there throwing gold at Aaron. Make us a calf. Make us our God. And you're scratching your head. Didn't Moses just go up the mountain for laws? I mean, he's been gone a few days, but okay. And you see Moses come down. And what's the Israelites doing? They're breaking the first commandment before they ever get it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? In place of, representing me. What are they doing? They're having a wild party around a piece of gold. Like it did all this stuff for them. We get like that. Oh, my job is number one because it provides for me. Is it? That sweet young thing is number one because she just makes me so happy. Does she? Placing anything in front of God. We have that temptation continually. The Israelites faced it. Did you notice they failed? Sometimes the example of the Israelites oftentimes is a bad example. Okay? But it's here as an example for us. Paul says this multiple times. It's an example for us so we don't fall into the same traps. So we don't fall into the same temptation to rise up and play and indulge in immorality. So that even when they did that, 23,000 fell in a day. That's a lot of people. That's more than our town. A lot more than our town. 23,000 in a day because they were tempted, and when they were tempted, they were drawn away of their own strong desires, as James says. And God told Moses, write this down so it's an example. Not just to future Israelite generations, but for those who will be called by my name. To be testers. This one is in Numbers 21. You can find it there. They're complaining again. God, we don't like these Krispy Kreme donuts all the time. Can we have some meat, please? I mean, imagine that. You're in the wilderness. You don't even have to go get it. It falls, and you're not getting fat from it. I mean, how is this not perfect? Right? God, we don't like this manna. We want some meat. What do you mean, pigeons? So God sends serpents. And they put God to the test, and God provides only one way that those who are bitten can be saved. Prefiguring, as we talked about last week, Jesus Christ. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, right? Hasn't all humanity, even ourselves, put God to the test? We fall into the same temptations. We even fall into the same temptation to complain. Over and over, the Israelites grumbled. God sent the destroyer. How would you like to be struck down for grumbling and complaining? I don't think I would still be here. But it's an example to us, right? Because God is working great things for us, and sometimes we can't see it, and all we see is the hardship, and we complain. This is for an example for us. Finally, we see that we need the same instructions. Notice from verse 11 to verse 13. These things happen to them as an example. They were written down for our instruction. God had Moses write them down so that when we, as Paul puts it here, whom are at the end of the ages, we're just waiting for Christ to return and things are getting worse, that we would be instructed by them. Because if we're honest, you read the rest of the Old Testament, oftentimes the Israelites didn't pay attention. They get in the promised land, then what happens? Generation after generation of idolatry. God sends their enemies. Oh, God, save us. We were wrong for being idolatrous, and the next generation didn't know God, and it just cycles over and over again, kind of like Ecclesiastes talks about. God had these written down for our instructions because we need the same instructions as we face the end of the age. As we face the coming of Christ, as the world progresses further and further in its rebellion and sin against God, as it starts to more and more look like the days of Noah, we need the instructions. We need to know who God is, that He is powerful and working, that He shows grace and mercy to those who call upon Him. When we do, we need to know what He expects of us, how He wants us to live, to reflect His character. So as we face this end of the age, we need the same instructions. We need the same instructions because we face the same temptations, verse 12 and verse 13. Anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. The moment you think you've won, you've lost. We're praying for those who are battling addictions. The moment you think you've got it beat, you've lost it. And Paul here says, what? Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, but God is faithful. You know the same temptations that the Israelites had? You know, to be idolaters, complainers, testers. We face the same ones. Each one of us face similar temptations. Maybe yours are tweaked for your desires. Each one of us are drawn away by our own strong desires, James tells us. But they're pretty common. Paul tells us we need the same instructions that the Israelites received. It is written down for our instruction because we face the same type of temptation. They're common to all people. I know your parents probably told you you were special. You're not that special. It's the same temptation. And we need these instructions so we can face them and overcome. And we need the same instructions to trust in the same Almighty God. Verse 13 says, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The same God that was there with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire at the Red Sea, who without even a word opened up the Red Sea. What do? They walk across not on muddy ground, but dry ground. That same powerful God who can kill every firstborn in a nation in a night. That God who can rain down manna from heaven. That God who can provide water out of rocks. That God that told Abraham, I am your God. The God that told Moses, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I am that I am. That's the same God. He still has all the same power. He has all the same desires for us. Ever since the garden, it's been a relationship. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. It's the same God. We need these instructions so we can see the promises of God fulfilled over and over again. That God cares about us. That He desires for us to know Him. That He's working out through Jesus Christ our restoration to Him as His children. If we would but accept it. We need the same instructions to trust in the same Almighty God. The Almighty Father who is holy. The same God that called Abram out of Ur the Chaldees has called you out of sin. And so we sing praise to the God of Abram. He is our help since ages past and our hope for years to come. The same God that was concerned about a bunch of slaves is concerned about you. The same God that pulled them out of the slavery of Egypt has, if you will ask it, pulled you out of the slavery of sin. The Old Testament is worthwhile for us. It does help us with our spiritual growth because we are just like Israelites. We are just like sheep. Each one of us are just like that. I would challenge you as you read, maybe you start a plan to read through the Bible. It doesn't have to be in a year. Just take your time. Look for yourself and look for God in the Old Testament. You'll find a lot of similarities with people there. And you'll find the God who works. Really, you should ask the question, are you finding the Old Testament worthwhile for your life today? Maybe you just kind of flip past it, you know. Your Bible breaks open about Matthew. Because you really should. It was written as an example for instructions for us. Have you missed the many lessons in the Old Testament that apply today? They're there. Maybe we can wear clothing that's got two types of thread in it now, you know, grace and all. But there's a whole lot about God's character there, about who He wants you to be, how He wants you to know Him. Have you missed it? Have you read over, kind of glossed over? Your eyes kind of glaze down. Right? Have you missed it? Again, I challenge you, search for the Almighty God of the Old Testament. He's still working today. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Ours just happens to fall as snowflakes. He's the one that pulls people out of bondage. He's the one that rescues. He's the one that says, I am the self-existent one. He is God. And as Scripture says, He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Who He shows Himself to be to ordinary people like you and me in the Old Testament is the same one who's at work today. So I challenge you, enjoy the Old Testament. Grasp hold of it. Because it's for your example, your instruction. It's for my example, my instruction. So we would know who God is and desire to love Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your Word that all of it is worthwhile for us. That we don't have to skip over parts. That all you have given us is given for an example and instruction, that we can know who you are. We can know your character. We can have a relationship with you. And through your working in the Holy Spirit and through your working through your word, we can become more like you in the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would see the similarities of ourselves with many people in the Old Testament, oftentimes not flattering. That we would see the mercy and grace you extend to them. That we would see the path to take. How we can glorify you on this earth instead of placing ourselves into more sin. Lord, thank you that you've given it for an example and an instruction. Lord, help us to look for it, to search it out, to love you with all we are. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming today. You'll be dismissed.